And it's such a great blessing to have these men and to live in the age that we have. But there's something really special about the local church. And that is your pastor, me and Dustin, both are seeking to bring you the word that we believe God has for you, for your church. And let me tell you, this morning, that's what God's doing. Last Sunday morning when Dustin got up, I started to just tell him, hey man, you're right on line, you just go ahead and preach. This morning, I started to say, Dustin, you're right on line, just go ahead and preach, because God's speaking to you this morning out of Luke, the 8th chapter. So turn your Bibles to Luke, the 8th chapter. Listen, that baby's amen in me, and I hadn't even started yet. It says that, now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Now that is key right there, okay? Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, let me tell you this. Some of you, God spoke to you, and I guess the Spirit's just, because none of this was in my notes or in my thoughts. It's just stirring in my heart this morning. Some of you, God spoke to you and said, you need to go to Haworth First Assembly. Or God spoke to you, you need to begin to tithe. Or God spoke to you, you need to begin to serve in this capacity. Right? God spoke that to you. Okay? Now, he told the disciples, he said, let's go over to the other side. Now, if Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, where do you think they're going to end up? On the other side. So if God's spoken something to you, if the storm rages or if things suddenly seem to begin to go wrong, what do you do? Abandon ship? Mm-mm. Because Jesus told you what you need to do. What you've got to do is you've got to have faith. You've got to have daily faith in God. And that's the title of my message this morning. Daily faith in God. Now it's interesting here. It says one of those days. It was just a day. And some days you get up and you think it's going to be a great day. And by the end of the day, you are just so glad to get your head on the pillow and fall asleep as fast as you can so it can be over. Right? And he said, let's get up and go over to the other side. So they launched out. Now, launching out can be fun. Launching out can be fun. I know Heath took his boy fishing a couple of weeks ago. And I'm sure when they launched out, they just knew they were going to fill those live wells full of big old bass and big old smallmouths and probably going to go to the taxidermist. But about an hour later, they're pulling the boat back onto the ramp and the back of the boat is underneath the water. Who knew going slow and hitting a stob could punch that big a hole in your boat? Launching was fun, but getting back isn't always fun. It doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to work out. So they launched out, but as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, Jesus, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. They had some real good English, didn't they? That's exactly what I say, Mitchell, when I'm in trouble. I'm perishing. They're losing their mind. They're drowning. It's not how they want to go. And he got up and rebuked the wind and surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who is this that he commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him?" Daily faith. You see, Jesus put them in the boat, they launched out, and he said, "We're going to the other side," and they forgot about Jesus until they thought they were perishing. Faith is what you trust in. Now, our spiritual life is different than anything else in our lives because it is spiritual in its dimension. And that's why we struggle. Faith is what you trust in. Now, Jesus trusted in God. Now, remember this. We say this because if we can begin to grasp this and really believe it changes our walk with God. When you begin to understand that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, yet he lived his life without sin and he lived it perfectly. Now, if he was 100% man, then he had to have faith the same way Brad Farley has to have faith. The same way. He had to trust in God even when he didn't see God. You see, your faith is what you believe you know. Faith is what you believe you know. And the scripture says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So Jesus walked out his life in joy, in contentment, and in peace. That's why when everyone else on the boat is losing their mind, they're grabbing pieces of paper, trying to find a glass bottle, trying to write their last will and testament and throw it overboard so that somebody will have some record and know what to do, Jesus is sound asleep. You see, faith is seeing what you can't see in the physical, but knowing it in the spiritual. So Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So Jesus was sure that they were going to get to the other side because the prophecies about him did not say that he would drown and that 3 days later he would pop up out of the water and they would say, "There he is floating, dead," and then he would stand up and walk across. That's not what the prophecy said. He was sure of how he was going to live his life and how he was going to die. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, that right there is hope. You have to have hope. You've got to have hope in your life. If you don't have hope in your life, you will die. But you see, you've got to hope in the right thing. And a lot of times we spend our lives hoping in the wrong thing, and we go from disappointment to hoping in something new to disappointment to hoping in something new. And the reality of it is your only hope is in Jesus Christ. And that's what you've got to learn in your life, is that you place your hope in Jesus and you keep your hope in Jesus even when you can't see it at all. Because that's what's going to be your life. Is you're constantly... Now, a bunch of people have been getting cataract surgery around here. It's kind of scary, too, when they're talking about how good they can see. And they've all been driving to church. Just, we walk by faith, not by sight. Willie's been walking by faith, driving by sight from Foreman. Surprised he's even gotten here half the time. It's being sure. I like that word. I love this in the New American Standard, how it's translated. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What is a conviction? A conviction is something that you are convinced about, that this is right for you. This is right. You're sure of it. And what you've got to be sure of is, because this whole thing of faith, and there's a lot of teaching, there's a lot of churches, praise God, the gospel's preached. But there are things that are taught about if you can give, then you'll get. If you can believe, I heard someone recently say to someone else, has a heart problem. The doctor has said, yeah, there's a heart problem that's serious. And this individual said to them, you just got to believe God, you're healed. You are healed. You just have to believe it. He's not healed. That's a lie. And lying to yourself does not make you healed. You see, what you got to do is you place your confidence not in your faith. You place your confidence in your Jesus, that Jesus knows what he is doing in your life. Not faith for something, it's faith in God. And faith in God, now this is where we struggle. This is where I struggle. I struggled with this week. Faith is not changing your mind about God. That's what faith is. Faith is when you are convinced that God is going to do it, even when your boat is sinking. Now, and here's the thing I think about this, okay? I like a thrill when I'm safe, you know? You know what I'm saying? I like a thrill when I'm safe. When I know that the buckle at Six Flags is not going to pop open, when I've checked out the wires, when I've gone and looked at the inspection date, I'm good. I like the thrill. And see, you can walk through those storms in confidence, knowing that your God is going to bring you through. Faith is when you, real faith, is when you are confident of God and when you don't change your mind about God, no matter the circumstances or even the outcome. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when they were facing the fiery furnace, they said, if God, our God, is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, but if he doesn't, we will not bow. What they were saying is, we will not change our mind about our God. Our confidence is in our God, not in this life. You see, as they went across the lake, Jesus knew it was going to happen. Jesus could see it. You see, that's what faith is. Faith is seeing when you can't see. And he said to them, where is your faith? Well, let me tell you where it wasn't. It wasn't in Jesus. Their faith wasn't in Jesus, because Jesus had told them, we're going to the other side. But their faith wasn't in Jesus. See, your faith has to be in him even when you can't see it. Part of this is you have to see that God is good. That's one of the reasons that our faith gets weak, is we begin to question the goodness of God. So when it comes to our morality. We have something that we want. And God's Word says, no, that's immoral. That's not right. You're not allowed to do that. Why does He say that? Because He wants to ruin your good time? No, because He wants you to have a good time. And because He is good and He wants the very best for you. And so you have to keep your faith in Him. And in keeping your faith in Him, you have to see that God is good. You have to have faith that God is good in your life. So a young man comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher. And Jesus says to him, no one is good except God. You see, he was wanting to place his trust in good things that he saw, and he recognized that this was a good teacher, but what he didn't recognize was that this was God. We must not trust in our goodness. We can't trust in the goodness of another human being. But what we can do is we can place our trust in the goodness of God. And when you look at an individual, and yeah, there's times you look at someone and you say, that's a good person, and then a year later you begin to question it. But you see, at that moment, what you've got to do is you've got to say, hey, I'm not looking at that person. I'm not looking at my spouse. I'm looking at God. And I'm looking at His goodness, and I'm looking that God is going to show me His goodness in my life. Psalms 27 and 3. David said, I would have despaired unless I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have despaired. Now, I think every one of us in this room has despaired before. I've despaired. I've despaired this week. And he said, I would have despaired unless I had not believed that I would see. You see, that was faith. That he believed that he would see the goodness of God. You've got to believe, even in that dark moment, even in that storm. You see, that's your opportunity to strap yourself to the main mast and to lift your hands and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that you are going to do it, and I'm just going to enjoy the ride. You've got to place your faith in the truth. And this is the truth. God is good. And you've got to know that His goodness is at work in your life. You've got to know that He has a plan for your life. Do you believe God is blessing you? Now see, in those moments when you're confused, you see, disciples didn't recognize that they were about to have a story that was going to be told and that they were going to tell until their dying day about the goodness of God. They didn't realize it, but God was blessing them. You've got to believe that God's blessing you. You got to believe that He's blessing you. And you can't let go of that. You might not see it. And that's what David was saying. He said, I would have given up, but yet I knew that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Now, right there, it's obvious that he's in a storm. And we got to remember, said this over and over, and this is what throws us so much as Christians, and why so many Christians want to give up. You got to remember that the symbol of our faith is a cross. It's suffering. There will be suffering. It's no fun to be in a storm, to be cold and wet and afraid where the next lightning strike is going to hit. It's not any fun. But even in that moment, you've got to believe and see and have faith that you're going to see the goodness of God. And the word of God is this to you, that you will see it in your lifetime. You will see His goodness in your life. But you've got to believe, and you've got to believe that God is blessing you right now. And as you begin to open up your eyes, suddenly you will have the most incredible divine revelation that you've ever received before. You will realize that Jesus is right there with you in the middle of your trouble. He's with you. Next, you've got to believe that God is working a plan. You've got to believe it. Now, you may be in the storm. You may be despairing. You may be discouraged. But you've got to know, even when you can't see the roadmap, even when you can't see how He's going to do it, but you've got to keep believing, that's faith, that God is working out a plan. Because He is working out a plan. He is a planner. He's a planner. Read the book of Revelations. Or if you've missed Wednesday nights, you've missed it. We're almost done. But what we see there is that God has a plan. Even in the darkest, the most wicked days that the world will ever encounter, by the world's choice and their refusal to worship God, and so they bring God's wrath and God's destruction upon them. But even in the middle of that, He is working all the way through it, and He's got a plan for your life. You've got to believe He is working a plan in your life. And nothing and no one can stop His plan except you. If you step outside His plan. You see, Jesus could see what was going on. And He could see what He was going to do. And what He's going to do is always good and it's always right. Psalms 31 and 19 says, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you." You see, what you've got to fear is you've got to fear getting outside His plan. You've got to fear giving up on God, because He has stored up goodness for you. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Because there's moments in your life where you would like for God to just open up the doors of His warehouse. But He's not opening up right now. Well, you know what? That's where you got to believe in His goodness. You've got to know this. And it's a good thing to know. It's why He's God. He's smarter than you. But we want to be smarter than Him. We think we know it all from the time we're 2 years old. Ain't eating green beans. They're not good for me. Might be good for brother, not good for me. We think we know. But God is perfect. He's perfect. And there's nothing that He can't fix. But you've got to trust and believe in His goodness. And you need to know that He has stored up goodness for you. You've just got to wait for it, because He's got a divine plan and a divine purpose. And you've got to believe. You've got to believe. Faith is believing when you don't see it. It's believing that you will see it. It's there. And here's the thing. sometimes it's right there and you don't even see it. Jesus was right there. The answer was there the whole time. And they didn't even approach him right. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, to seek something out. When you lose your keys, you don't close your eyes. Get down on your hands and knees and start feeling around the house. Now, sometimes you do get down on your hands and knees and start reaching underneath the bed or the couch. And then you find the remote. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. You seek him. Well, the word seek, first part of it, is see. You've got to look for him. You've got to see. You've got to see him, and you have to have faith that he sees you. I want the worship team to come. In Genesis chapter 29, verses 9 through 20, I think I've got time to read it. It says, now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. There's that word again, distressed. Abraham was upset. He had got himself in a pickle. Praise God for living in a country that doesn't believe in polygamy. It is a lifesaver to men and women because they had a problem in their home. And the older wife, she said, I want you to throw him out. I don't care if that's your son or not. You dirty dog, you shouldn't have listened. Get her out. And Abraham is upset. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed. Because of the lad and your maid, whatever Sarah tells you to do, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendant shall be named, the whole thing of salvation. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered around in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, and said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? It almost seems like an insensitive question, doesn't it? Really? That's not very good pastoral training right there. Your son's dying. For me to walk into a hospital room and say, what's wrong with you, Mama? But you see, God had a plan all the time. What's the matter with you, Hagar? "Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the boy, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew. God told Abraham, "Don't be distressed. There's two people in this story. Abraham had faith, and he trusted God, and he watched him walk away. And then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw. Do you see what God is doing? That's what I want to speak to you this morning. That's what I want you to walk away with this morning. Is God wants you to see what He's doing. Open your eyes and see the goodness of God. Open your eyes and wait on it. Don't miss it. Is He your Lord? Call on Him and see Him in your daily life. He is at work, I promise you, because He's God. And as we sing, God's not dead. He's alive, and He's alive in your life. And He wants you to open up your eyes, and He wants you to see. It's not your physical eyes, because you're going to open up your physical eyes, and all you're going to see is your child over there withering away. But when you have your eyes open spiritually, suddenly you're going to see that the goodness of God is going to come, and the goodness of God is going to work in your life. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's the conviction that God is at work. Wait for it. Would you stand this morning? Come on, let's just close our eyes. We're closing our eyes because we want our eyes to be opened up spiritually. And Lord, I just pray this morning in each and every situation that each individual church member is facing this morning, God, I pray that You would give them eyes to see what You are doing. Lord, there's those that are here this morning that You have been working. You have done amazing things, and yet they have been blinded to it. And I pray, God, that in the middle of their storm, Lord, that they would see the goodness of God, and that their faith and their confidence would rest on You. It would rest on You. God is at work in your lives, church. God's at work in your life. Place your hope and place your confidence in Him this morning. He is at work. See Him. See Him. Believe that you will see Him even when you don't see Him. Because He sees you and He's at work. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. And He never will. May our eyes be open to see God this morning. As we close this morning, if you need prayer, we invite you to step out of where you are. Come to the front. We would love to pray with you this morning. Let's close together as we sing this worship song.